Let us pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
When I was growing up, family friends of ours had a house up in Vermont, and so my family would go with them often, and in the area where it was, there was a state forest nearby, where at certain times of the year hunting was allowed, so it wasn't uncommon for us to be outside and to hear gunshots. When I was about 6 years old, there was one time we were all playing outside, and again, it was typical to hear maybe a gunshot or two off in the distance, and then we heard one, and it was way too close to the house. One of the parents immediately came outside, got all of us inside, and we're, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And eventually, through the windows, out at the corner of the property, we can see a deer that is just extremely badly hurt. And so our parents put all of us downstairs in the basement in the Lego room, which was a room that had no windows, stuck us there while they went upstairs to try and figure out what was going on, what was happening, all that stuff. And so here were six kids, all under the age of 10, in a dark room, kind of just sitting there like, what do we do? What's going on? And all of us at the time were in Catholic school, so we were praying the Lord's Prayer every morning. So one of us said, you know, we should pray for the deer. Yeah, that's a good idea. So we all stand there holding it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I don't know how many Our Fathers we did until an adult came down to let us know that everything was okay. Turns out a hunter had shot the deer, and they were following it to try and put it out of its misery and hadn't realized how close to houses they were getting. But us in the basement, we didn't know any of that. We didn't know what to do, so we prayed. And there's a lot of times now that I'm older where I wish I was still like that. Where when I don't know what to do, I start with prayer. I don't freeze. I don't immediately start running around trying to fix every problem before I know what's going on. But just when you don't know what to do, just sit there and pray. And in our text today, the disciples ask Jesus to teach them because they see him doing this. They see this pattern of Jesus praying and then teaching, praying and then healing people, praying and then feeding people, praying and casting out demons, and praying and praying and praying. And they want to learn. They see that this is something that centers Jesus, that connects him closer with God, and they want to learn what that's like. And so Jesus gives them words. He teaches them words to say. How many people here in this room have the Lord's Prayer memorized in some version or another? Mm-hmm. Most of us, right? And there can be something really comforting about that, that when you don't know what to do, there are words in the back of your head. And in our first reading, Hannah shows us that God doesn't need our words when we pray. God knows what's on our hearts and on our minds, but sometimes we need the words when we pray. And it's a bit of a Catholic thing, but I love that the Catholics call it the Our Father, the reminder that we're praying to our parent, our creator, and our caregiver, and a God who wants to be close to us. And Jesus reassures us, ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will open. And I don't know about you, but I think that's actually really hard to hear sometimes. That when we pray for healing and our family members are still sick, when we pray for abundance and we see our neighbors still hungry, when we pray for peace and there is still war in Ukraine and in Gaza, and when we pray for the safety of our neighbors and ICE is still tearing families apart, in escalating situations, there was a shooting in Glen Burnie on Christmas Eve and a woman killed in Minneapolis last week. And when we pray like Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That reassurance doesn't always feel solid. But we know when we sit at the foot of the cross, we know that resurrection is coming. We know that Christ is God with us, and we just celebrated Christmas, God coming into the world in Jesus Christ. And in Epiphany, when the rest of the world is seeing Christ in it, and that Jesus came, that God became human like us to be here with us, to suffer alongside us, all so that we know that we are not alone, and that we have a God who knows and who understands and who is here. When we don't know what to do, we start with prayer. And one of the things we pray is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We center ourselves on God and the promise of the kingdom of God breaking into the world, and God uses us to help do that, calls us into the work of the kingdom, into discipleship, into love and service for our neighbors, and that transforms us that we might transform the world around us. And that despite our brokenness, God answers prayers through us. That when neighbors pray for food, the loaves and fishes pantry is there. That when people pray for community, Epiphany hosts an LGBT+ potluck, and people might realize maybe they're not alone, or not as alone as they thought they might have been. That when people pray for violence, we see the work of our leaders and community organizations here in the city, and we just had the lowest homicide rate in Baltimore in over 50 years. And when we pray for justice, that we see our neighbors showing up in protests in very visual ways, and sometimes in a quiet check-in or a phone call with one another, but we show up. And we pray for daily bread. We pray that God sustains us in this work. So yes, we live in a broken and a messy and a hurting world. And so often when we are faced with that reality, we don't know what to do. But we're also in a world that is so full of love, overflowing with God's abundance and grace. So when we don't know what to do, we pray. We start with prayer, we center ourselves on God, and we let God move through us as we show up in love and service and community with our neighbors. Thanks be to God.
Amen.